Hello and welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break, where we don't make you make decisions, we force them on you.
We force them on you, huh?
Yeah, we're just going to make the decision for the people. None of this freaking hold left or right, make the decision. We're not going to time it either. No. Oh, yeah. I'm tired. Sorry. I polished off Until Dawn last night, and then my brothers were like, hey, oh, and it's the first of the month, so now the tornado sirens are being tested. That's great.
Oh, well, I can't hear them, so.
All right, good. So then my brothers were like, we're playing Destiny. Come join us. And we did that until like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then the alarm went off at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's been several late nights for me too. And the alarm goes off at six. It's like, son of a bitch. I swear to God, I just laid down.
Fuck you, alarm. Fuck you.
Yeah. Just, ugh. But it's been crazy. But yeah, I mean, I am for the Book of the Month Club when you guys record that, because I'm not going to be there. I will be sharing screenshots of those texts that you sent me while playing that to everybody, so that they can see how much you enjoyed
killing everybody.
Yeah.
I was really traumatized. I'll get into this in later, but this brought up because I played. I took two nights. I think the game took about 10 hours.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So it's not a very, by some standards, it's not a very lengthy game. I thought it was pretty well done. This brought on, because I started playing it Monday night, and then yesterday you and I kind of started talking about it, and you made the mention of how you love how I make games fun like this. And, you know, we kind of started talking about this with Dragon Age, how you couldn't believe some of the choices I was making. We got into a little bit of a discussion. So today, let's take that discussion and carry it forward. So,
well, basically, like, because you're talking about how, I think your exact words in the IM was, if I don't find a way to kill everybody, I'm going to feel like I failed. And I was like, okay, you know, I kind of wish I could have that attitude of just, you know, whatever happens, and if everybody dies, whatever, because I'm always so focused on, I think as I actually phrased it to you, as I put this in air, like little quotes in the IM, it's like, I'm always so focused on making the right choice, or making the right playthrough, playing the right way to play, and so, which then you said, you know, that's why you thought you might not have enjoyed Mass Effect as much, because you were focused on that, like, you know, I want to make the right decisions and play the right way so I can have everybody. And well, that, and I think it just destroyed you that you killed Rex, and that just ruined the game for you.
Oh yeah, I'm still mad about that. So many years later, I'm still mad that I killed him.
Not that you killed him, but that you had to. There was no way.
Yeah, no matter how many times I've reloaded that save to go through the dialogue trees and get the different responses, there was no saving him. He was,
because your only options to save him probably were grayed out, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Yes, yeah.
So
you saw that it was there.
Yeah, I was like, I could make that choice, but the game won't let me have it. Fuck you, game. Fuck you, Mass Effect.
You see, and that was part of when I first played Mass Effect. You know, of course, I went out and bought the strategy guide immediately, because me play RPG, especially like one of my first times playing a shooter, like without help. I mean, oh my God, I needed so much hand holding. But when I saw about the choices like affecting things, I mean, I didn't do anything without consulting that guide. And you know, one of the first steps that it had in there was put your, because when you level up, you get, I guess they're skill points. I think they're called something different, but they're essentially skill points. And it said, put your skill points into either the charm or the intimidation when you first start out, because you want to get that up so that you can get your options open for the dialogue trees with Paragon and Renegade. So, but if you don't know that going in, like you're probably, you might, maybe you'll level up your proficiency with certain weapons or your armor or things like that. I remember this math, the first Mass Effect had just this huge, it was a hardcore RPG. And then they totally stripped that out. But regardless, so you probably like, well, why do I want to charm intimidation? What the hell is that? I'd rather have better armor or more health or something like that, you know, so you don't think about that. But yeah, so if I didn't have that to help me make the right decision, I mean, and that was how I was able to save Rex. And it was how I was able to make the decision of knowing that I had to make the choice here. Who was I going to save, Caden or space racist? I don't remember her name. Ashley. Or like how you, there's a possibility that you never say that you let that Salarian commander, I can't remember his name now, die. If you don't do something fast enough. And there's all these different things. Like with Mass Effect 2, I didn't do that, mainly because the strategy guide was so bad, but I didn't really obsess on that. And then I ended up, because of that, my entire crew was killed. So, I mean, everybody else was saved in the end, but, you know, the crew was killed. So I was like, well, crap. So I didn't have that perfect playthrough or the right playthrough. And with Mass Effect 3, because I wanted to have the right playthrough at the end, I studied that guide and I did everything it said. And so, but yeah, I mean, I do get obsessed with that. And especially, you know, like we're talking about Dragon Age, I was so that when I didn't make a single decision in Dragon Age without consulting the guide to see what would happen. And it's actually kind of amazing that I happened to pick being a human noble, because I just did that in the very beginning without really, I was just looking through different options. I was like, you know, for my first time, I should be a human, because at least, you know, that race makes I'm more familiar with that race. You know, it's like in Mass Effect, starting off with a soldier. Always start out with a soldier, and then you can expand later to learn the different classes and things like that when you're more familiar with how the game is played. So I just picked a human noble. I picked the warrior class because that's me, you know, go through with the RAR technique. And it just so happened that was, for my personal best playthrough, that was what I needed, because that was the only way I would end up marrying Alistair, was being a human noble. And that was, you know, when I really, really liked Alistair, that was very, very important to me to keep him around. And I knew there was a crossroad of decisions, because I'd heard rumors about that if you make the certain decision, he will leave and there's nothing you can do about it. And like studied that, because I had to make sure I had the right playthrough, and I had to make sure I kept everybody, and one person died in my party because I didn't talk to them enough. Well, I didn't know that. So I ended up having to kill him at one point in the game. And so, but yeah, I mean, I do, and I'm doing that. I do that with Inquisition. I stress, like, I look like, okay, what do I need to do here to get the Grey Wardens on my side? What do I need to do here to get these people? And yeah, so I stress about that. And then, you know, I watch Chris play Dragon Age Origins, and he goes through and he's just like, what would piss people off the most? And so I was like, I guess it's he kind of will stress about it, but it's for a different purpose.
Yeah, but
he looks at it as a way of fucking around with everybody, you know.
Yeah, and you know, when I played Mass Effect, and I don't know, that is Mass Effect really the first game that I played that was really decision based? I mean, I'm thinking back on like Baldur's Gate, that was more just thinking for story, and yeah, so I think Mass Effect was really the first one, and that's when I was pulling like you. I was like, how do I, you know, oh, I got to make all these decisions, and which one's the right one, and which one's going to keep people alive, and how do I get, I know this has a bunch of endings, but how is this decision going to affect the rest of the game? And oh, it's, so, you know, there was that. And then Dragon Age, the first, I think, two times I tried to play it, I had that same problem. It was like, okay, so how is this going to affect the game? And I really want to make these people happy, but what happens if I try to just make this one person kind of happy? How's it? And I think it was right about the time when you were like, you really got to play it. You got to play it again. Just play it for me. And I was like, okay, fine. And it was at that point that I was just like, fuck it. I'll just make whatever decision I want, and who the hell cares? And then I started having fun. Just when I started seeing the reactions of people getting pissed off, it was just like, Which one option on this list was probably going to piss people off the most? Let's just go with this one and see what happens. Oh, we burned down an entire town. Great. I feel good about myself. Let's keep doing that. And ever since I've started taking that kind of attitude where it's just like, you know what? It's not like these are life altering decisions and it's really just a game. And it's not, I mean, these are predefined decisions that's part of the story. So it's, you know, it's not like I'm going to get a whole lot else out of it. So it's, let's just have fun with it. Let's see what happens. Every once in a while, I do try to be a nice person, but not often. Not often. Usually, it's just the games these days have gotten so good at making people get so pissed off and angry, and then it's just interesting to see how the story plays out from that point. So, I mean, there's still a little bit, like you saw last night when I sent you that text that said, I think I messed up and I couldn't kill this one guy. Well, I found out you could turn around and kill him a different way. So it was just like, oh, good. I was like, that worked out in my favor. So, you know, it was just like, and looking back on that one moment, it was like, you have this situation that you're presented with, and you're like, okay, so in my mind, if I do this, this would probably get me killed. So let's try it out. And in the video game mind, they're like, nope, that's exactly what you need to do, you pacifist motherfucker. And I was just like, oh, so that's the part that got me. Because in the game, you kind of get like little sequences that show you death of people. So you kind of know, you know that somebody's going to die and you know how they die, but you just don't know where in the game they die. You kind of stumble upon it. So I already had that knowledge. I knew that the kid was going to die. And then I made the wrong decision and he lived. And I was like, oh, damn it. But... You know, it was like...
I kind of did the same thing in The Walking Dead, Telltale. Mm-hmm. I think it was the end of the fourth episode, and you can have, yes, it's at the end of the fourth episode, when you can have people go with you to try to find Clem when she is kidnapped. Mm. And, everyone came with me except for the redneck. And he started yelling at me. I was like, why are you mad? I've been nice as fuck to you. Like, I don't get it. Of course, and then, you know, at the very end, like, it shows you your choices and what everybody else did. And I saw that it was possible to have everybody go with you. I was like, oh, I messed up. What happened? And it, like, ate at me. And, you know, but it was just stupid. It shouldn't have, you know, made me upset, but like I don't know, sometimes I just get like fixated on the right way to play something.
You know, that was an interesting game for me too, because like I wanted to get as many people and keep them alive up until there were a lot of dick moves where I forced the dad to kill his son.
I think Ross did that too, because he did not like that character at all. I do not remember his name, but he was like, what's the main character? I don't remember these characters. The one I remember is Clem.
It's been so long since we played.
Yeah, the only one I remember is Clem. But the main character, he said, him and the redneck, he goes, we are not friends. He made that abundantly clear. I mean, I don't know. It was baffling to me.
That game was really interesting to see at the very end, like all like that stat breakdown of all the choices that people made, and then actually, you know, seeing how people play the game. I thought that was pretty interesting, because you could see a lot of people, if I remember correctly, a lot of the decisions were, you know, a lot of people made the exact same choices, and then there's like, it showed me where you come in, and then how you compared to, like, you know, the internet. It's like, yep, there was that dick move that I made. Yep, I'm that one part of the subset that's the outlier. That's the kind of thing that I think I would really enjoy in more games. I understand that now you have to have the internet connection required and all that other jazz, but to me, that would be really interesting to see on games such as, you know, like Until Dawn or even in any of the Dragon Ages. Just I know there's a lot of decisions, but some of the, you know, even if it's just some of the big decisions, like when I, in Dragon Age, when I burned down the town, or I think I left him for dead. Yeah, that's what it was. The they were having something come in at night, and then it comes in, and I was like, yeah, fuck you guys, you're on your own. I came back the next
Oh, you let Redcliffe burn?
Yeah. And you come back, and it's just like, yeah, we're all dead. Thanks, asshole. It's like, okay, great. Let's keep going. You know, stuff like that, I think, at the end of a lot of these decision-based games would be really kind of interesting, just so you could kind of see how your play style is compared to the internet and just how your choices pan out against, you know, the massive hordes.
You know, and I don't know why they can't have that for Dragon Age, because for Inquisition, what they did, I forget the name. My brain's not working. I think I'm so like stressed out with other things, but there is an origin game app, whatever, where it imports in your game save, your save from Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2, and you put that together into one tapestry, is what they kind of call it, and then you import that tapestry into Dragon Age Inquisition, so that therefore like your decisions you made in Origins and Dragon Age 2 will carry over. So, which was, you know, kind of cool, because when Hawk from Dragon Age 2 shows up and you talk to Hawk and you find out, you know, all the stuff that you decided, like what he or she is still doing with that, and then some, you know, is Alistair still, you know, is Alistair king? Is he not? Is he, you know, who's the leader of the Grey Wardens? You know, just all these different things. So I don't know why with like that little app, you know, with everyone importing in that stuff, if they couldn't have a breakdown, just even like on Origin, that would be kind of cool.
So here's another question for you that just kind of hit me when you were talking about that whole bringing in saves and then building it and then going to the third one. How stressed do you get when you're playing like a three-run franchise like Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, where your decisions from like 1 carry into 2, 2 carries into 3, or something from 1 will carry all the way over to 3? How stressed does that make you?
Mass Effect, I haven't seen those effects in Dragon Age Inquisition at all. Just because you're not playing the same character. You're playing different characters all the way through. It's mainly because in Dragon Age Origins, it is possible for your character to not survive. But a lot of the decisions, so it's like the decisions that you make don't exactly impact the world in Inquisition, but your stances and things might change because it'll maybe alter your perspective on what is going on in Inquisition. Now, Mass Effect 3, because it is Shepard all the way through, when I got to 3 and I was reviewing the guide and it said, if you made this, this, and this, and this, and this decision, this is how it's possible to get this ending. I'm like, oh. And I think Mass Effect 3 is that going all Paragon or all Renegade will not do it. You have to pick different pieces, which that's not my playthroughs. I have an all Paragon and I have an all Renegade, who is and I have to admit, when I did go Renegade for the first Mass Effect and I was just like, let's pick the meanest option, a lot of it offended me, but some of the answers were so funny. I mean, because like when you play as a Renegade in the first Mass Effect and you meet with that Asari escort, again, don't ask me her name, I don't remember, but she gives you a gift. Like, you know, she gives you this little thing. And if you choose if you have your intimidation up and you choose, that's it, as your answer, you get a sex scene. I was like, oh, I just cracked up. I'm like, well, okay. No, that's not it when you're a dick about it. But I mean, a lot of that is, for Mass Effect 3, it was very stressful because then I saw, because of one of the decisions I made, it was going to be harder to get the perfect ending.
So, do you do this? You can't do it until dawn because it just automatically saves every chapter. But in things like Pillars of Eternity, Dragon Age Origins, I did do a little bit in Mass Effect when I was doing that. I think I did it in... No, I didn't do it in The Walking Dead, but saving it frequently, so that way when you get to these decision parts and you make the wrong decision, like you don't like how that played out, you reload the save, redo the scene again, choose a different decision. Because in Pillars, there the decisions are small and very infrequent, but I do remember that there was a part in one of the very first towns you get to where you're trying to one guy's hoarding like all the grain and won't release it, or is charging people a phenomenal amount of
money.
Yes,
I remember that quest.
And I was like, I'm going to try to get this guy killed. So I saved it and I ran through and I couldn't get him killed. So then I made, and I actually took notes, like what decisions I was making. Then I reloaded the save again. And because after I couldn't get him killed, I was like, well, let's try to get the other side killed. And apparently you can't get either side killed. They both just live. Eventually, if you try to get the grain guy killed, he gets mad at you and just, he's like, fuck you, get the hell out of here. But I've done that. I've done it in Dragon Age too, where if I start seeing the, like a possible outcome, like I start going, okay, so if I make this decision, this is probably going to happen, then this is probably going to happen. I'll save it here and I'll run through. But I only do it for, I don't know, like I only invest half an hour to an hour, you know, going down that. And then after that, I'm just like, screw it, I'll just keep going at this point. So you don't do that? You don't save and then see how it's going
to
play?
I'm trying to think of a time that I have, and I don't think I ever have. I think the closest I ever did was in Mass Effect 2, was doing, I'm sucking at names today. I think his name is Thane. I'm probably wrong, but it's the assassin who is dying. And you have a loyalty mission where you try to stop his son, Kolyat. Hey, I remember that name. From performing an assassination. And there's this one part where you have to follow his target. And you have to like keep an eye on him and keep reporting back into Thane that, you know, what he's doing. Well, if you don't do it quickly enough, he bugs out and leaves. And then you don't stop the sun and mission's over. Well, the first time I did it, I missed where the guy went and I went the wrong direction. Cause like you're up in like these rafters, I went the wrong direction up there and I couldn't get back to where I needed to go fast enough. And so it was over and I was like killed. I was like, yeah, okay. And I started my save over. That was like the one, because I wanted to save everybody. Of course, then he ends up dying in Mass Effect 3 anyway, because you find out he has a disease and he's dying, so it doesn't like it's really fucking matter anyway. But that was really the only time I can think of that. I mean, there's been plenty of times in Mass Effect where like I put something like I responded because it looked like it was say something, and then the Shepard would say something totally different. I'm like, whoa, why'd you say it like that? Like, why'd you do that? But no, because you would think once I figured out how I killed all my crew, I would have restarted it. But I think I was so many hours after that save point, I wouldn't have gone back to redo it anyway. I really cannot think of a situation. Yeah, not even in Dragon Age. Probably because I've always had the guide, though, with me, too.
Oh. Well,
so, yeah, you know.
That way you can automatically see how it plays out.
Right, right. Because I was so, you know, stressed about how many decisions. And it's one thing about Pillars of Eternity. That's one reason why I stopped playing it after I turned in my review. Because I knew a guide was coming out. I was like, I know I've made so many wrong decisions. Because when I found out by looking at another review before I did my review, they're like, well, you have 6 characters by the time you get into that your first big battle at Cade Nua. I was like, you do? And I only had 3. I was like, well, no wonder I kept, like, that battle was so hard. But I beat it finally with 3 because I finally got a system down, but it was so hard. And that was one time because I kept dying, so you had to go through that dialogue tree with that guy. I probably went through it 10 times. I chose a different response every single time just to see if maybe I could talk my way out of the fight, which the answer is you can't, no matter what branch you go down, you can't. I have now seen everything possible because that's how many times I had to fight that asshole before I finally figured out. And then I found out you can go into it with 6 characters. I'm like, oh, that would have been so easy.
Carrie making bad decisions.
Well, yeah, I just didn't go to certain areas and explore enough because it was one of those situations where, you know, you get a review copy of a game and you have a deadline and you're trying to burn through as fast as possible. So I didn't do enough exploration. And So, I mean, I cannot, I mean, I must, because it's been so long since I played it, but I can't wait to restart that game over and, you know, with the guy pretty much by my side, like I'm not moving until I see what to do, because, you know, also those CRPGs are also they're hard.
Oh, yeah.
They it does take, you know, and also the reason why I probably kept dying, aside from the fact that I went in severely underpowered and underpartied, but it you know, the strategy you have to have going into that, it's not as simple as just going in and just, you know, sending an Alistair to Rar in and having Morrigan do some spells. I mean, it's like, no, you got to immediately pause, delve out your orders, put people in position, and watch how they're doing, see when to pause and heal them. And it's a lot of moving parts for a turn-based pausing game.
And there's a lot of pausing in that game.
But it's so good. Like, it's, you know, I just have so many RPGs that I want to get back to, like that one, and of course, Witcher 3. And now my plan is to do Dragon Age Inquisition over Extra Life.
Good choice.
Well, you know, I did Dragon Age Origins last year, so let me just do,
Continue on.
Inquisition. Although I think, like, around, you know, midnight or one, I'm gonna stop to play Lego Dimensions. So I have something, you know, waking me up a little bit, because, you know, you actually have to move the pieces around and pay attention. And so that's the plan anyway.
Oh, let's hope it all goes according to plan.
Yeah,
So,
I love plans.
right until they fall apart. What have you been playing this week, Carrie?
I've been playing nothing but Rise of the Tomb Raider. And I'm trying to think if I'm allowed to talk about it now, and I don't think that I am. Like, I know that the embargo's up to show us, you can stream one part of the game, but no cinematics. But I guess all I can say about it is that if you liked the first Tomb Raider, you will love this. I can also say there's not as many quick time events, which I know, which make a lot of people happy. They are still there, but it's not as like every other step that it felt like the first time. Yeah, I'm actually thinking of doing a huge feature for Action Trip about this, about how this game does not fit in with the extended lore at all. And it makes me wonder, why the fuck was there a comic series in the first place? Because the comic series is awful. It is god awful. And the whole point of it is like to bridge between the two games, and you don't need it at all. Like, there's nothing to bridge. Laura Croft is a completely different character in the comic and in the game. Completely different. So it's,
You know what it is, Gary?
what?
Alternate dimensions.
Oh, shut
Laura Croft, at the end of this game, what you're going to find out is that she's going to get an idol that takes her to the other dimension
Stop.
that's in the comic book series.
Stop.
Then there's going to be a time rift, and there'll be a third Laura that comes in to bring in some different lore.
Okay, do you understand like how hard it is that I am continuing with the Flash, knowing that they've brought in Earth 2?
Yes, the alternate dimension, alternate timeline, alternate. Oh, such a clutch. It's so old. It's so overused. Come on, people. So that's lovely. So less quick time events and lore is all just jumbled. All right.
No, but like I said, she's awful in the comics, so this is great. Like, I was actually dreading the games. I was like, if this is what we're gonna have from the comics, because this is done by Crystal Dynamics, like, this is what we're gonna have. This is gonna be an awful game, but it's not, like, at all. Like, the game is how it, I don't know, like a Tomb Raider game should be. Of course, I'm saying this as someone who's never played any of the earlier Tomb Raider games, but I mean, it follows along with the reboot perfectly.
Great. So we'll be able to talk about that next week then.
Yes.
I'm thinking, make sure that I'm actually home next week. Yeah, we can talk about it next week. I have like three trips to Wisconsin this month.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So,
And this is my last, should be my last, like, big deadline game that I don't think I'm getting another one this year. Well, not that I'm not getting them, but I'm not reviewing them. I will put it that way.
there's not the rush to get it hammered
Nope,
out.
like, I'm not doing Fallout 4. I mailed that out to somebody else. I'm not gonna do Just Cause 3. I'm not doing Hitman. So I'm not doing Star Wars Battlefront. So yeah. So maybe I'll actually get back to Dragon Quest Heroes. So Square Enix won't be mad at me.
Yeah, that game's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. I just hope I understand it, because I've been told it's like a love letter to Dragon Quest fans, and I've only played like one other Dragon Quest game, so...
Oh, it's a good series.
Hope I'm able to... I know it. Well, I stopped playing Dragon Quest VI because I got to a point where you have to enter in a fashion contest, and the fashion contest determines what gear you get to be able to defeat the next boss. I'm like, oh, fuck this. I'm not running around all over this area for a freaking fashion contest. Stupid. I'm done.
Oh, Carrie.
No, I know it's such a Japanese thing for JRPGs. I mean, hell, there was even a fashion contest in you kind of have one in Final Fantasy VII, if you think about it. We need to dress up Cloud as a woman. And then you have one in Bravely Default, but of course that's not why I quit Bravely Default. Quit Bravely Default because I don't like repeated boss fights.
Oh, games. All right.
So what are you playing? I know you, so let's get into Until Dawn. What an asshole you are.
I'm going to save that to the very end because I can plow through the three of these. War World of Warcraft, still playing. Exploring the world. It's kind of interesting just starting a character new and working through a bunch of the quest lines because they've changed so much stuff now since the last time I played. So that's cool. Obviously, like I said at the beginning of the show, I played some more Destiny last night. One of my brothers brought in one of his friends, so and it's one guy that I knew from a long time ago when I was going over to their house, and he was in high school. So played Lego Dimensions, thanks to you. And then I bought an assload of Lego stuff. I finally got my Bad Cop. I got the Portal set. Bought Cyborg. They just released a new one. I think they got the...
Doctor Who is out now.
Didn't they release the Unicorn from the Lego movie, too?
Oh, the Unikitty?
Yeah.
They might have.
Isn't she out too? I thought I saw that. Because I want her too, because I just like, you got to have the angry unicorn kitty thing. So, it's a fun game. I'm still working around the whole, like, you got to keep moving pieces around the board. Mm-hmm. You know, for like, it's a cool idea. Like, you got to move all the people over from one side to the other side when you're fighting a boss because they're, you know, stuck doing whatever or to avoid poison and... So I'm getting that figured out now that you can actually just like leave the vehicle sitting in like the upper corner somewhere and then just move figures around without having to, I was like, oh, so the three little LEDs aren't the only thing that you just place it on the thing and I call it a day. Good. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad that, I didn't have the game at release, so I didn't have to do the whole, like, you gotta put the figure on there to load the instructions in the game to play it. Now I just go to Lego's website, type in the number, and...
I'm so thankful for that.
Download the PDF, and away you go.
Yep.
So, it's been lovely, because I can build my shit while I'm eating lunch, and then when I get ready to play, it's all done. Although, I really wish they would give you a skip for when they're doing the building instructions.
Just keep like, pressing X.
You just hold down the right button and it zips right through. But I'm still like, can't I just have like an O to be done? So thankfully they're not complicated pieces. All right, Until Dawn. This is the game that Ross nominated for the Book of the Month. And it's one of the ones that kind of goes against our rules because it was a $60 game. But he had a copy and he sent it around to Blake and I. Obviously, Carrie isn't going to be on this because she's single parenting for the next few months. But Ross really enjoyed it. Blake sent a text at like 1 a.m. and he said, "Nope, I nope the fuck out of this game. I'm done. Chris, I'll mail it to you tomorrow." It's like, okay. So then he's like, "You got it. Tell me where you think that I nope the fuck out." He said he had played through a couple chapters and then he was done. So it's only ten chapters. The game is essentially, the game starts out, you're a bunch of, they must be college kids and they're up in a cabin in the woods, right? And this is a horror game and it steals boatload of horror movie tropes, which after a while I was just kind of like, okay, this is, yeah, okay, great. So there, I think there's 10 of them to start, and they're all up at this cabin, and they play a bunch of them play a prank on one of the girls. And it's because she has a crush on this, on, you know, like the big, the popular kid. So they play a prank on her. She starts to take off her shirt. They were going to be like making like out. And then she finds out that they've been recording her and everybody's laughing at her. So then she freaks out and she runs out into the woods. Then her sister runs out into the woods. And that's where you get the big scary guy with like a flamethrower, and he's got the heat vision and all that. And both girls, my choice was to, I was like, yeah, that's a really far fall. So you have the choice of either one sister falls off the edge, the other sister catches her, they both fall off. Now they're holding it like, they're holding hands, one's holding on by this with this branch. And this is the first choice you get to make is, do you drop your sister and grab this like killer's hand, obviously, because he's going to pull you up and then kill you up there? Or do you drop down hoping that you're going to survive? And I was like, okay, well, that looks like a pretty far fall. I'm going to kill both sisters. Drop both sisters right off the edge. They both die. Then you get the beginning sequence, which has like one of the best freaking intro songs I have heard in a long time. It's Oh Death. You can easily find it on YouTube. It is a great song. Great intro sequence too. Then the actual game starts, and it's like the eight other kids. They're all coming back to the cabin that this all happened at, because they're just like, let's try to, you know, celebrate. And then obviously people start dying. You got to start making decisions. And that's where it starts doing all the horror movie stuff. Like there's no power. You got to go turn power on. People are falling off. And so, yeah. And if you're a fan of the Saw movies, there's a big heavy Saw vibe, because there's definitely two scenes in there where you have to, it's like that, it almost sound just like Jigsaw when he comes on. He's like, hello Jack, I want to play a game. And every time I got to those two scenes, I was just like, okay. And I kept waiting for a little doll to scroll out, never did. I was really sad that there was no little doll on a trike rolling out to tell me how the game was going to be played out. But there are some, because Blake challenged me, so I was really trying to figure out where it is that he nope the fuck out. And there's one part where you're sitting at a table and there's a gun between the two, like there's a dude and a girl, and I can't remember if they were dating or they were like, they're on that cusp. There's a gun on the table, and then these two giant saw blades start coming down, and you have to make the decision if you're going to kill yourself or you're going to kill the girl that just admitted that she really loves you. I obviously chose to kill the girl. And I'll let, you know, I won't tell you how that ended up. But so what's really interesting about this is that you get to make these decisions. Some of them are like, you can sit there and really think about it, and some of them are because you're like fleeing from something or you're trying to save somebody, so they become very rushed. And then it's also it has its QTE moments. Like if you try to, you'll get to a path and it'll be like, here's a fast way or here's a safe way, which one do you want to do? So I would do like if you do the fast way, there's QTE events, so that way, you know, like if you're trying to climb up something, you got to press triangle to grab this, press square to put your foot here, and all that. But this is a game that you don't fail at all. If you fail the QTEs, the game will just keep going. You know, you can either keep trying to climb that wall, or you can just walk backwards and take the easy way.
Just perhaps something bad might happen if you fail it, or?
So I didn't realize, like, on Monday, I was actually trying to do like a lot of the QTEs. Last night, I was like, I wonder what happens if you don't do the QTEs. Well, that's how I killed somebody. I was like, oh, brilliant. If I just don't do the QTEs during these high stress situations, the person's going to die. I can kill everybody off now. This is awesome.
See, Heavy Rain did that too. I don't know if you played Heavy Rain or not.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay. But you know, like there's a lot of QTEs in that as well. But if you failed them, the game kept going. So either you weren't able to complete the challenge as requested, or maybe that character died.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, there was no fail state, like you said.
Yeah, this one, it's this huge. The QTEs that if you're trying to save people, you'll have to do the QTEs because there's a couple of there was I think I killed three or four people off yesterday by just being like, oh, don't move. Okay, I'll shake the controller. So yeah, that's the really interesting one is that they have this mechanic where you're supposed to stay still, so you gotta hold the controller without it moving, and then in the later part of the game, your heartbeat starts coming through on the controller, so the controller starts shaking. So it's not like you can just put it down on the table because then the controller starts shaking, and you obviously fail that whole don't shake the controller bit. So that was one of the things that I went back, like, the don't move. I was like, okay, how's this for not moving? So I got people killed. And then there's a couple parts where, like, you're running away from the bad thing, and it's like you can fail the first one because the ones like you'll hit your head, or you'll trip over a twig, or you'll run into a pole, but you'll keep running, and then there'll be another QTE, and if you succeed at that one, then the person will live, but if you fail it like two or three times, the person's just, you're dead. So yeah, it's I didn't really know a lot about the game. Even I watched like one stream, I think, of it, and it was just like, I have no idea what the fuck's going on here. Cause this is not a game that you can really just, if you're going to watch somebody stream it, you really should be watching them stream it from the beginning and watch the entirety of it, because it's not one that you can really just come in, cause you have no idea what decisions they have
made
throughout all this. So
it'd be like, streaming Heavy Rain or even Beyond Two Souls or something like that.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Like, Heavy Rain would be a really hard one to come into because that game is so... It's a good game, but it's one of those ones that, man, if you come in, you have no idea what's happened. But, yeah, the sound... I played the game with the lights off, I closed the blinds, put my headphones on, turned them up. The audio in that game is just absolutely fantastic. They have all these environmental sounds going on. So you'll be walking around a house, you'll be like walking around the cabin trying to explore stuff and all that. And you just can't, there's constantly wind blowing in your ear. There's drips and animal sounds. Like when you're outside, you can constantly hear various animals, wildlife just out and about. And then you got the wind just blowing in your ear. It's really well done. Visually it was pretty good. The acting on it was pretty solid. The motion capture that they did for it was pretty spot on. There's a couple times where like there's like a psychologist guy that's sitting that's talking to you at the beginning, and you later as you play the game you find out who he's talking to, but you're getting tested, right? So it's like he puts down cars and he's like, look at this picture and then tell me what you think of it. So you got to make it. And what was cool is that some of that stuff ends up becoming part of the game. So like the picture that the picture that he has you like looking at, he asks you, how does this make you feel? Well, that picture ends up in the, you find it later on. And then there was like what scares you more? It was like, spiders or clowns or something, or spiders or scarecrows or something like that, I forget, but I ended up with a scarecrow in my game, and I was like, that was really interesting. And then depending on how what I also liked is that depending on how the decisions that you made, because he's asking you like which of the people, and he starts going through the cast of the game, he's like, well, which of these two people do you like more, which of these two people do you not, would you love, and all that. And then in the game I actually reversed those decisions. So I ended up like the one person he said, who would you fight to save? I was like, yeah, no, let her fall off the edge. So I killed her. And then it was shortly right after I killed her, you come back in and the dude is pissed off at you. He's like, why would you do that? So you lied. And I was like, holy shit, dude. And how they changed up his office where you're sitting in, because you come in and it's all like, a nice office, and then depending on how you play the game, I noticed that his office actually would change depending on what was going on. So I thought that was pretty cool too. Overall, I mean, I have to send it back to Ross and then we have to talk about it, but I actually do want to play it again just to see how, if I actually, did all the QuickTime events, if I could actually get somebody. So the game is supposed to take place over like a 12-hour period. So you arrive at the resort area, and it's, I don't know, it's like 5, 6 o'clock, and you have to make it until like I think 7 o'clock the next day because you end up getting help, so you have to make it. And I obviously killed everybody just as help was arriving. So I'm curious to see if I can actually get everybody to survive and get,
It is possible. I have heard that. People said, yes, my playthrough, everyone lived, but they said it's very hard.
Yeah, I can, because there's like two characters that I'm it, and it's there's also a part of your how you fort. It's crazy because you're building relationships, and obviously you're dealing with like college level here. So there's this whole like you got the alpha thing going on. You got people trying to get freaky with each other. So there's parts where you're actually building relationships or destroying relationships, and obviously we know which choices Chris was going with. So like I started accusing people of cheating, and I created all this extra tension within the cast of the people that I'm playing with, and it was really cool to see how something that I did, a couple hours prior started changing how these two people interacted at towards the end of their lives. It was really it I love that. So I know how, like I saw how that tension, how I
See,
built that
now you're
tension.
making me want to play this game. I
There's,
get scared so easily.
yeah, well, if you don't like jump scares within,
No,
I
I
think
don't.
they threw one in within the first, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes of the game, there was a jump scare. So, and it's,
Like,
they're
I
pretty.
almost noped out of Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Oh yeah, you won't like this then. This
Because
is way
of, because you know, in the
worse
very beginning in the woods and
with
those
this.
traps
Yeah.
spring. Scared the shit out of me every single time. I was like, okay, I almost quit.
Yeah, you're not gonna like this one because they're all over, like wildlife running in front of you. And then yeah, they did the old camera, the ones where they're like, oh my God, check this out, this is so scary, and then you watch it and then all of a sudden like this face shows up in the,
Yes.
yeah, they did that like once or twice.
Okay,
Because
damn it.
that happened, I was just like, really? Really? We just went that way? You really had to take, you've already stolen from Saw, you've already taken from the Jason movies, you've already gotten, some of the Nightmare on Elm Street stuff down. Now you're stealing internet memes? Come on, game. It's
That might
just,
have been the point.
yeah, it was, it almost kind of felt like a, like where Cabin in the Woods was kind of like, it was like a horror movie, but it was stealing all those tropes just to make fun of it. And then towards the end, you're like, okay, yeah, this is whatever. It kind of felt like there were times I kept going, I'm playing Cabin in the Woods, and then I got the Saw, and then I'm playing Cabin in the Woods again, and now I'm playing Jason. So that part was very, I was just like, I don't know if they, obviously that was intentional, but it was just like, okay. Overall, though, I will probably end up buying. Now that I've played it once, I won't spend $60 on it. I'll wait till it drops down to like 40, 30, or $40, and I'll buy it and do that second playthrough. But there's a part of me that's like, maybe you should just get it now while all those decisions are still fresh in your mind and you knew what was going on. So, but
Or do you wait until the inevitable PlayStation Plus?
yeah, when it comes out on PS Plus.
Yeah, because that's what I'll wait for. I'll wait for it and I'll try it and we're like, nope.
Yeah, that is kind of a decision. But man, it was really good. And it's with only being 10 hours, there's a part of me that's like, maybe just plow through it one more time. But
Well, I can't wait till you guys have your book of the month discussion. I'll have to watch that when I hear Ross's take and why Blake nope the fuck out and
yeah, then you can actually hear all the spoilers and all the good stuff on that one. So,
Oh, well, not like there's a big chance I won't play it anyway. So listening to spoilers probably won't be that big of a deal.
If you didn't like jumps, if you didn't like the little traps and
no, I didn't.
You will not. This game, you will not. You'll be Blake. I think you will be Blake much faster though. you will nope out of that in a hurry. So.
Although, but the thing is, though, at least like with Until Dawn, I will expect it because it's horror. Versus Vanishing of Ethan Carter, did not expect that whatsoever.
Yeah, if you don't like gore, it does get pretty gory in places, too.
It depends on how, I don't know. I mean, I do play Mortal Kombat, you know.
Yeah, it's not like a Mortal Kombat, yeah. But did you ever watch the Saw movies?
No, of course not.
Because there's very much that in there where like a guy gets cut and a person gets cut in half depending on who you choose with a saw, and you see like the entrails and the blood. And then the only thing that I was really stumped by that really bothered me on this is all the girls wore like spandex and they're all freezing their ass off. I'm like, one girl's wearing like tights and then some shorts, and she's complaining about being cold. And I was like, why the fuck are you wearing tights and shorts and then a parka? This doesn't equate to warmness.
Just gotta look hot, man.
That was the only part. I was like, y'all bitch about being cold, and yet y'all can't dress for the cold. It's like, you've been here a year before, you knew what to expect.
But you gotta look sexy. These are high school girls. Not like they make the best decisions ever.
Whatever. It's just like, that was the only part. Every time I saw them, I was just like, come on. Whatever. All right. With that, take us home, Carrie.
Yeah. Time to wrap this up. All right. So you can leave us a comment here, or you can email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com if there's any particular topic that you would like us to talk about, or if you have a particular question about a guide, game, whatever. We will be happy to answer it in a vidcast. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Crunchy Chocobo. Chris is at Starvin, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. And of course, we ask that you keep on reading SGR. Got some good stuff coming. After I finish Tomb Raider, maybe I'll finally get to my guide reviews. I don't want to do this action packed, you know, review again until next year. Like, I need a break. This has been insane at work. But, and this weekend is Extra Life. Chris won't be doing it this weekend because he's going to be shooting a wedding, and I mean like with a camera, not with a gun.
Vlad the Heartless only sticks to video games.
That's right. And so I'm going to be posting a schedule very soon of what I'm going to be playing. I do have raffles going on. I got one Steam code left for the Indie Game Kingdom, and I have a Steam code for Fallout 4. I'm going to give away for a donation, $25. Plus, there's the Assassin's Creed Syndicate. I will put in a raffle for $25 donation. And if you don't know none of those appeal, there's also the raffle for Strategy Guide of your choice. Like, there's like raffles going on. Come on. Like, I'm offering you two games, Fallout 4 and Assassin's Creed Syndicate, two brand new games that are $60, chance to win them for just $25. One's PC, one's PS4. You can tell me which one you would prefer. So, have raffles going on. Chris's campaign's still going on. Stop donating to Ross. He's doing fine. No, Ross is kicking all of our asses.
Ross is once again claimed top king.
It's amazing. He just started asking for money last week, and he already has like $600 and something.
That dude is crazy.
Yeah, I am impressed. He said it's mostly from work, and maybe that's why I need to work in an office again. Maybe that's the secret. But regardless, I will be streaming. I'll be posting all that stuff, and Chris will post what he's going to play and when he's going to stream. Whenever he figures that out, he's still working out those dates. But have all the information very soon. But we will catch you all next week with another SGR coffee break. Hopefully, I won't run out of coffee next time. I think I got like two drops in here.
Oh, poor Carrie. And with that, we're out. Peace.